announcements. Have you ever noticed the lengths that God will go through for one person? Have you ever looked at Scripture or even at your own life and say, man, he went through some lengths to get to me. He took some time. He went through some stuff. He sent someone through some stuff, right? Matthew chapter 18, verse 12 says, if a man had 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hill and go and search for the one that is lost? God sees the value of one person. He sees the value in the one. In John 5, it tells a story of the man at the Pool of Bethesda. Sorry. My brain wasn't working. It says in verse 1, it says, afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem, one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city near the sheep gate was the Pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, and paralyzed, laid on the porches. And one of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him, he knew he had been ill for a long time. And he asked him, would you like to get well? I can't, sir, the sick man said. I have no one to put me in the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me. And Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. And instantly the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. You know, there's all these people laid out. There's five covered porches, it says. There's five of them. And so, and all under these porches are sick people. There's no people that are well there. It's all people who are sick. And Jesus looks for the one. And this is one of the only passages where after he heals someone that it doesn't say a few verses later that then he healed all the rest of the people in the area. It doesn't say that. He went for this one guy. This one guy. He went out of his way, went to where all the sick people were for one guy, Cole. One. He cares about the one. He cares about the one life. This guy had laid there for 38 years, and he cared. I think about Mark chapter 5. It says in verse 1, so they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of Gerasene, and when Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out of the tombs to meet him, and the man lived in a burial caves and could no longer be restrained even with a chain. Whenever he put chains and shackles, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered around the burial caves in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. And when Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me, for Jesus has already said to the spirit, come out of the man, you evil spirit." And then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Then the evil spirits began begging him again and again not to send them into some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirit begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission, and the evil spirit came out of the man and entered the pigs. And the entire herd of 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The story, this area where Jesus went, this is the only time that we find him in this area. This is the only time in all of Scripture that we find him right here in this spot. And the night before, there was a storm that had blown up. It was the night that Jesus calmed the storm. But in order for him to get where he was, the storm had to come. Because he wouldn't have been able to get to where he was because they got blown off course for this one man. For this one man. And then he gets in the boat and leaves after the guy's healed. After the pigs plunged off the hill, he got in the boat to go again. Going back. He didn't stay. It was about the one man, this one demonic man. He endured a storm to get off course and to end up in the place to heal one man. I think about Acts chapter 8, and I think as it says in verse 26, it says, "For Philip, the angel of the Lord said to him, go south down to the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace. the king of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning, seated in his carriage. He was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah, and Philip asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The man replied, "How can I unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come up in the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb and is silent before the shearers. He did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" So beginning in this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north, the town of Astus. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea. Philip experienced something that's remarkable, okay? First of all, I don't care about the eunuch. That's great. But the fact that God took him, beam me up, Scotty, and then took him miles away and put him back down, that is amazing. I do care about the eunuch. But that part of the story is the part that gets me every time. I'm like, God, I want to be like Philip. Just take me and put me somewhere really fast so I don't have to drive all that way. Or so I don't have to ride in a car. Just pick me up and put me there. Right? Someday it's going to happen. I might be standing here and then I'm gone and y'all won't even know what happened. I mean, think about this guy. What I want to know is, what was this guy from Ethiopia thinking? When Philip was gone, he comes up out of the water. Where did that guy go? Gone. Without a trace. In Acts, further along, there's a story of Paul making it to a certain island. In Acts chapter 27, verse 13, it says, when a light wind began blowing from the south. First of all, we need to go back up a little bit, because in the beginning of this chapter of Acts, there, Paul is urging the ship and urging the captain of the ship to not make sail because it's winter. He says, we need a winter here. But the guy, they insisted on getting in the ship because there was a south wind. And so the wind began blowing from the south, and the sailors thought they could make it. So they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. But the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength called a northeastern blew across the island and blew us out to sea. And the sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind. So they gave up and let it run before the gale. We sailed along the sheltered side of the small island named Kata, and where the great difficulty, we hoisted aboard the lifeboat, being towed behind us, and then the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. They were afraid of being driven across the sandbars of Sirtis off the African coast, so they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship and were driven before the wind. The next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. Verse 19 says, the following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until at last all hope was gone. No one had eaten for a long time. And finally, Paul called the crew together and said, men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this damage and loss, but take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For the last night, an angel of the God whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God's goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God. It'll be just as he said. But we will be shipwrecked on an island. And about midnight of the 14th night of the storm, for 14 days they didn't have... It was dark. As we were being driven across the sea, The sailors sense land was near, and so they start dropping soundings. They've thrown everything overboard. Paul gets them to eat, and then they throw the rest of the food overboard. And then they just pray. They dropped all four anchors at this point and just prayed for daylight. 14 days of darkness, and this is the first time they started praying for daylight. They waited, and the next morning they wake up and they see shore ahead of them, and so they cut all four anchors and they begin going in, and they went in too fast and it busted the ship all to pieces. They came up on a sandbar. These guys had been through it. Chapter 28, verse 1, though, says, "Once we were safe on shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. The people on the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake driven out by the heat bit him on the hand. The people of the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to each other, 'A murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live.' But Saul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed, and the people waited for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided he was a god. Near the shore, where they landed was the estate belonging to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us and treated us kindly for 3 days. As it happened, Publius's father was ill and with fever and diphtheria, and Paul went in and prayed for him, laying his hands on him, and he healed him. Then all the other sick people on the island came and were healed. As a result, we were showered with honors, and when the time came to sail, people supplied us with everything we would need for the trip. It was 3 months after the shipwreck that we set sail on another ship that had wintered at the island." They didn't end up on this island by accident. I mean, it was by accident, but it was on purpose by God. They didn't just, this was, a, I mean, it took extraordinary lengths for them to get to this island. It was a bad time to sail. They had things against them. It was a bad time to sail. Paul said, "Don't sail. Let's winter here in Crete. A little south wind. We're good. We can make it. Let's go." And so they set out in the winter when they shouldn't have been sailing at all. The weather wasn't right. Then a storm hits. They've probably been sailing for just, you know, a couple days to maybe a day, and everything changes. And now they're in trouble. Now they can't even turn the ship. They're being blown sideways for days because they can't turn it because of the wind. That's terrifying. They have no control. The island of Malta was 182 nautical miles off course. This wasn't, we made a wrong turn and mistaken calculations. This wasn't Siri saying recalculating. She said, "We're lost." This was a serious storm. But the Father knew there was a man that needed healing. He used difficult sailing, 14 days in the dark. So dark that it says it blotted out the stars and the moon. That's dark. If you are scared of the dark, you're in a bad way on this ship. The soldiers wanted to murder the prisoners, but when the ship crashed on the sandbar, the soldiers are like, "We got to kill all these prisoners. They're going to get away when we get on this island. Where are they going to go? It's an island." And the captain's like, "No, we're not murdering Paul, so we're not murdering any of them." And so he stops them, and then they get off the ship, and Paul floats over on a plank, and he gets there, and he's gathering sticks for the fire to warm himself up, and he's bitten by a snake. And not just any snake. It was a snake that the people believed that he was going to die instantly. He was going to swell up and die. They waited for it, Sam. They waited to see How big is he going to swell up? It's funny to me, they didn't say, oh, that's a poisonous snake. We need to get the venom out or anything. They're like, nah, he's a murderer. He's going to die. No hope for him. And then they waited a long time. I don't know how long they waited. I'm thinking, were they waiting and they're just like all sitting around the fire? They're like watching him. Is he swelling up yet? I think his hand's getting a little bigger. Is he getting sick? Can he walk still? What's going on with him? And then they got tired of watching and they're like, he's just going to be fine. God works through and in spite of every situation, right? For one man. Because the guy, Publius, he wasn't going to take anyone into his sick dad. He wasn't going to take, he certainly wasn't going to take Paul. Paul got bit by that snake. He's a murderer. They're not taking him in there. And then when he's healed and he's not sick, he never got sick from the snake bite, they're like, this guy must be a god. We got to take him in there. I'm sure Paul set him straight about that. But he goes in and he prays for this man. And he heals him. And then they bring all of their other sick people. God can be glorified in the shipwrecks of our lives. Look, it took a shipwreck for a man to be saved. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to look for shipwrecks or celebrate the shipwrecks of my life. You know, so many times God does things in our lives and we celebrate the bad part before we actually talk about what God did. I'm not going to celebrate the things that I did wrong that God brought me out of. When I tell my testimony, I'm not going to glorify the things that I did wrong. I'm not going to glorify the shipwrecks. I'm going to glorify what God did in the midst of it, in spite of it. Paul didn't get on that plank and get to the island and say, I'm going to keep this plank forever to always remind me of how I was shipwrecked on this island and bit by a snake so that God could prove who he was. He didn't do that. Paul prayed in the name of Jesus. He gave God the glory for getting him through the shipwreck, but didn't give the shipwreck credit. Paul did a lot of things that Jesus did during this time, but he didn't calm the storm. He didn't calm the storm because God was in the storm. When you give away all the stuff and all the junk, you'll be saved. This ship, they threw everything overboard. They started with the cargo. That was the first thing they threw over. Then they threw over the gear. The gear is the stuff that helped them get where they were going. And they threw it over. Then they threw over more cargo. By the time they got to the island, they had thrown over everything except themselves. And they had threatened to do that a few times. But when you get rid of all the junk, that's when you'll be saved. To be saved, you have to lay down your old lives. Sometimes we miss things. We miss things that God wants to do in us because we're not willing to let him have all of it. We let him have the big things. We let him have the things that everyone else sees, but we have our pet sins that we hold on to, and we miss out on what God really wants for us because we're still holding on to the pet sins, the little hang-ups. And we know we need to let them go. We felt like we needed to let them go. We've even voiced that we need to let them go. But for whatever reason, we've decided that they're okay because it's not hurting on anyone else. What's it going to take? The security blankets that we hold on to are not are not security blankets at all. They're anchors that keep us from doing what God wants us to do. The island was forever changed because of this moment. Publius's father was healed. And when he was healed, all the people who were sick in body were healed. Because they came and they said, if this guy prayed for him and he got better, then I want him to pray for me so I can get better. And during that time, it doesn't record this in the scripture, but during that time, Paul was able to share the gospel. And people turned their hearts to him. They turned their hearts to God. It took a shipwreck. It took getting bit by a snake. It took all of this bad stuff happening for them to get to a point where a whole island of people came to know God. Publius wasn't just some guy. They didn't just happen to be landing on some guy. He was the king of the island, so to speak. He was the leader. And all the stuff that they threw overboard and all the stuff that they lost, and Paul even talks about, if y'all would have just stayed, we wouldn't have lost all this stuff. But when it got time for them to leave the island, they received everything they needed. Everything they threw over was replaced. Everything they gave up was replaced. When the time came to sail, people supplied us with everything we would need for the trip, it says. Sometimes we think that when we give things up for God, that's just it. We just give it up and we have to live that way. And we do have to live a certain way. We do have to give things up and not go back to them. But God has always replaced things in my life. When I've given something up for Him, He's replaced it. Not necessarily with the same thing, but He's replaced it. I've never missed it. He replaces people in our lives. If we separate ourselves from people, He'll put someone else in our lives. Sometimes not right away. Sometimes we miss it because we don't realize what God is doing. He'll replace the anger with a joy that can't be explained. He'll replace the bitterness with a peace. But we have to give it to Him. We have to give it to Him. What are you holding on to? What has been your pet sin? What is the thing that you're not willing to let go of? What is the one thing that you say, oh, it's all right, I'm not hurting anyone else? That if you gave up, God would replace it with something better. When we give things up for Him, He'll replace it. Paul went through storms. He went through all of these things for one man, really. But it ended up being able to reach a whole community. God set it up. A storm that the ship shouldn't have made it through, but made it to the island. Not just a little bit off course. 182 nautical miles is a long way. That's off course. And He did it for one. What lengths will He go through for one? What lengths has He gone through for you? To reach you. To speak to your heart. To speak to what you're going through. Are you ignoring them? Or are you accepting them? God is wanting to do something in your life. Are you going to be willing to let Him? Are you going to be willing to let Him? What is it? What is it that you can't do on your own, but God can help you shake tonight. Cody, go ahead. Let's hear in the wood to stand to your feet. Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for what you're doing in this house, Lord. Lord, I thank you for shipwrecks. I thank you for unexpected situations and circumstances that bring about change in people's lives. Lord, I thank you for those things that have happened in my life. I thank you for showing up when I least had expected it. For showing up in times that I thought, where are you? And Lord, I pray that in this house today, that you begin to move. Lord, if there's some people that are carrying some cargo that they need to get rid of, Lord, I pray that tonight that they do it. Whether it's relationships, whether it's addictions, whether it's things that they've just held on to for whatever reason, whether it's anger, bitterness, hatred, whatever it may be. Lord, I pray that tonight that you help them to let it go. And Lord, I pray that as they let it go and they lay it at your feet tonight, that you replace it, Lord. That you replace it with joy, peace. That you place people in their path that are going to build them up and not tear them down. Lord, I pray that you do it today. Maybe you're here and you do have some stuff that you need to get rid of. Maybe it is an addiction. Maybe it is a feeling. Maybe it's a bitterness. Maybe it's a hatred. Maybe it's an anger. Maybe it's something you can't even explain, but there's something that you just haven't let go of. And you say, tonight I'm ready to let go of it. Tonight I'm ready to lay it down. I don't want to pick it up again. I want to invite you to come. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. You've got some stuff that you need to get rid of. Tonight's the night. Maybe it's something God's already been dealing with you about. Maybe you're experiencing a shipwreck tonight. Maybe you're experiencing a situation that you don't understand why it's happening, that you don't understand why it's going on. It's gotten you off course. And you need some clarity. You need to see what's going to happen that's good in this. I want to invite you to come. Don't miss it. If you need to be at this altar, don't miss it tonight. Thank you right now. I thank you right now. Lord, I pray that you just move in this place. I pray that you move in this house, Lord. Lord, I pray that we lay our pet sins down, God, that we don't pick them up again, that we lay the junk down and we don't pick it up again. Lord, that tonight, that change happens. Thank you. We praise you tonight. If you feel led to come and pray around this altar, feel free to do so. If you feel led to come and pray for the ones that are here, feel free to do so.